session number 26098, Reel 6.
Benquit Church, Reel 6. So lots of catching up to do, having come back together
mm-hmm.
as survivors.
Yeah.
Finding out who wasn't there anymore.
No, no. Glad to see that the colonel survived it, because we thought with his bad things, if you want to call it bad things, that he did to influence, wasn't bad things. And knowing the treatment that he had received, I mean, in the box and things like that.
What did you think of Colonel?
Brilliant man.
Why was he so brilliant?
He was what I would call an English gentleman, an officer. He spoke to you, and he did at one time during the battle asked to Jas to withdraw, and he told him about any Chinese estimate that was coming for him, and he was told by the brigadier he had spots before his eyes and he wanted permission to withdraw from the battle, and they wouldn't let him. But I, God rest his soul, I met him several times. And I always treated him with the respect that he deserved. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see much of him in the camp?
Only in the very, very beginning. Mm-hmm. As I said, they took all the officers away. Mm-hmm. And because of his bad influence, mm-hmm. he was put into solitary confinement for 18 months, mm-hmm. where he carved his stone cross. Yes. Yeah.
So, what can you remember in those early days in the camp? What did he do? Did he talk to you every morning? Or, you know?
He would walk through and chat and stop and ask, first thing was, how are you? Are you surviving? And things like that. And I think he probably talked to his officers, and then his officers used to come around and talk to us. But he wasn't there very long before he was whipped away. No.
So he was a bit of a symbol of resistance, really.
Oh, yes. As I say, the greatest respect to him. If I had given my life for him, I would have done. Mm. I had that much, so much respect for the man.
And what was it he like when he came out of the camp?
Well, we didn't see him actually. No, because in fact, to be honest with you, I didn't see him until I went into up to Gloucester in the later years, because he was on the boat coming home, but he wasn't all that well, but although you were asked to stay away from him, you respected that, you know. Mm-hmm. Even though he's been through it.
So, how long did you stay in Freedom Village?
About 2 or 3 days. Yeah, trying to get back to normality in eating, mm-hmm. in the eating habits. You know, getting back to eating European food, as we call it.
And that must have affected your bowels and everything
else. Oh yes, yeah, oh yes, I mean, you became ill with dysentery, because it was something you were doing, and eventually I found that I had developed an ulcer. Mm. Eventually, yeah, but that was some time later. Mm. But there again, it didn't take long to get back into eating habits, you know, and then you found it. You were thinking about what you ate yesterday. What am I going to eat today? Yeah. Now, I had fish and chips yesterday. What am I going to have today? Of course, I didn't miss anything there. Yeah.
So, from Freedom Village, you went where?
To Japan. Yeah, they took us into Seoul Airport. Never forget it. It was on a Dakota airplane. No seats. Grab all to the side and take off. So, we have ended up at a place called Hiro, off the inland sea in Japan. And as we're flying over, the pilot came back and said, if you can look up to the right, he said, there's a boat there. He said, that's the boat you're going home on. Yeah, but it's already going, isn't it? But it's already on its way. So when we landed, the camp commander of the British Army camp said, all right, he said, we know what we have. He said, I don't want to see you for a week. He said, but you must come back, he said, because the boat that you're going on is already left. He said, we will fly you from here down to Singapore to catch that boat. If I don't see you for a week, I'm not going to worry. He said, if you want to leave Barracks, just let us know you're leaving Barracks. If you want to stay out for a week, you do. Of course, the more I know, men did leave for a week. I slept in the barracks every night. Where, unfortunately, I used the swimming pool of the camp in there, and I developed a very bad ear infection. And I went to the medical order and said, yeah, look at my ears. He said, there's no wax. I said, no, but I got this pain. Next day, I was in the hospital. And all the gang came in and said, oh, you put me a bit delirious in the cots. And they said, no, he's developed it. He got to have picked it up out of the swimming pool, because that's where I spent some time in the swimming pool. And they said, well, I'm very sorry, you can't go on. And the time come from to leave the ward, the orderly come around, and they said, time for you to go, General. No, we're not going. If he ain't coming, we ain't going. Blinking hell. Anyway, the doctor came around and said, what's the matter? And the orderly said, well, you know, Ben's got this ear infection, he can't go home. He said, well, that lout's not leaving until he goes with them. So he had a chat. He said, look, he said, I'm ever so sorry. He said, the plane will burst the eardrum. He said, you can't go. But they still wouldn't have it. So he said, look, it's all right. He said, Ben, are you prepared to have injections every half hour? So I said, whatever. And he told the group, he said, look, he said, we'll do our best. He said, if you'd like to come back tomorrow, he said, we'll see how Ben is. So anyway, every half hour for the night injection. In the backside, that was the freshest part. Anyway, eventually he came around in the morning, he said, well, it's gone down. He said, but, he said, I don't know. He said, you could go if you want to. And I said, there's no could, I'm going. As soon as Bob came back in, I walked out with the mom. Yeah, but when I got back on, when eventually, after arriving in Singapore, we were taken to this officers' club. Singapore. Yeah. Well, no, the local inhabitants took us there. The personnel were based in Singapore. Sent the big limousines down for us. It's all right, gentlemen, in the cars. Because well, we had to wear a piece of coloured ribbon up to this film set club. Oh. Up the hill, onto the plateau. Lawns, swimming pool. All the waiters with white gloves and all. Anything you want to eat, anything you want to drink. Oh dear. So we'll be up there, we had a good time. And then we get back on board and they said, Richard, yes, medical. Go for medical. He said, no. No, he said, you can't go. He said, your ears developed again. We got with the hospital in Singapore. In the hospital, in this big ward, certain an organist had come on, dressed me and put me in bed. And they said, for the film tonight is Will Hay. Film? There's a film going on. So I'm led there, and I saw him, and then all these blokes start coming around. I got a gang of blokes on the bed. I said, problem, chaps? You just come home from Korea. They've been in Singapore and Hong Kong fighting. Of course, they want to know all about it. And the nurse fortunately came to my rescue. She said, gentlemen, this man's ill. Back to your bed. Injections every half hour again. Come on. He said, yes. All right, it's gone down. But you still have to have injections on the boat. So they allowed me to come home on the boat with the boys. Yeah.
That would have been awful.
If I'd have come home by myself without the boys, I mean, okay, coming back home, they said, we're not going to fly you home, we're going to take you home by boat so we can build you up.
And did you put on weight?
Oh yeah, slowly but surely. I've got a photograph around here somewhere when I actually got home. I'm skinny busy.
What was it like coming back and stepping onto UK soil? Well,
I'd had a letter from my mum and dad saying that they would meet the boat in Southampton. And they docked the boat it in the Queen Mary dock, because that was the biggest place where everybody could get. And we had to dock outside of Southampton overnight to catch the tide going in. And the customary excise boats came on, get all your cases and everything, and just go on, ticked everything. They didn't look at anything. They just ticked it, said, all right, carry on. And when the boat pulled into the dock, and upon the side rails, I spotted my eldest brother in the first place. Spotted him, took a little while. But I thought, my ribs are going to get crushed now. And my mother, oh, gave me such a hug. My father was in crying. Oh, my God, here we are. Yeah. And my boss had come down from Bristol, my old boss, in his big limousine, and brought the family down to bring me home. Yeah.
So you came out a real hero, really?
I didn't think of it that way. No, I didn't. Although the street was decked with flags, and a big party was laid on, and things like that. It was one of those things that, well, what have I done? Yeah. That was it, yeah.
So could you cope with all that?
Oh, yes. 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 I found myself very, very ill. Drinking. And at that particular time, my younger brother was in the Royal Artillery doing his national service. He was demobbed that week, so we had a big party. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how easy was it to settle?
Didn't. Drinking binges.
Really?
Yeah. Stoned up my own balls. Here in Bristol, there's a place called Bedminster, which has 12, 14 pubs in the one place. And by the time I piled up with a young fella, by the time we finished in one pub, we'd had to have a taxi home. Couldn't stand up. And that went on for quite a long time. Months. Yeah. Yeah. Don't say I got depressed. I don't think that came into it. People were asking, wanting to know, and I think at that particular time, although you could talk about it, it was something you didn't want to talk about, but people wanted to know. Walked into my uncle's pub shortly after coming home, and Blondie Morris's mother's in there with her husband, and she almost broke my ribs. And of course, eventually she said, how did it die? I said, sorry, I don't know. I don't know. Again, chappie at the top of the road, Ginger Bishop, when I met his mother. Eventually, I wanted to know how her son was killed. I said, sorry, Mrs. Bishop, I don't know. Friendly fire killed him. Well, you can't tell people that. Same as Harvey, Captain Harvey. You heard the exploits of him, I suppose. When he brought the men out, the Americans mowed them down. Thought they were Chinese. Unbelievable. They're out.
So, the drinking binge was helping you get by. How did that come to an end?
I just stopped. I just stopped. No, this took over a period of some 6 months, I suppose. I didn't go to work. My army pay of £700 for 2.5 years helped the job not to go, but I think Mum had probably had a little bit of influence in it, because I used to come home stoned to the eyeballs. Inasmuch that my first Christmas home, I didn't come home for Christmas. I think that probably started to thinking, because eventually when I came home on Christmas morning, she stood in the doorway breaking her heart. She said, I went in your bedroom with all your presents, she said, and you went in bed. And I've been so drunk the night before I couldn't get home. Yeah. Yeah.
So you stopped?
Eventually, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And did you get work?
Yes. My boss, my butcher's boss, said, look, when you're ready, come back. There's a job. Yeah, I went back eventually, but I couldn't settle. Couldn't settle at all. Man, it took a long time. I'd say years to really come back into the world of living again.
What were you missing?
a vacuum of emptiness. I couldn't, probably not being in the army, knowing all my friends. I mean, I had no friends in Sibley Street,
yeah.
Other than family. Yeah, I mean, all right, we saw a few of them on the dock when we got off the boat. Be in contact, Ben. Yeah, okay, yeah, lovely, lovely. No, really, have we got your... Never happened. It's only since 20 years ago, when I met up with Bert and Ron and Albert. That was really the regimental association. Yeah. We tended to drift away from it. Main part of my life, I was a cash register engineer. 32 years I did for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Traveling about.
Going back anywhere from up to Gloucester down to Penzance. Mm-hmm. Daily routine.
And you enjoyed that?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I loved it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Did settle.
Eventually, yes. And at the particular time, I was going around with a young lady. Who I worked for her father, actually, and we became an acquaintance. Nothing really serious. And we won £2,500 on the football in those days. And my share was £700-odd, so I've now decided what I'm going to buy. So the Lambretta scooter was a thing of those days. Everybody had a scooter. So I bought a scooter. Jogging around and seeing that effort. Join our scooter club. So, telephone number. So I rang this number. Yes, I'll meet you outside the Durlow on Old Market Street. Yeah. A very long story cut, very, very short. I married her.
You're still here.
Yes.
Yeah. So you did settle. Did you have a family?
We were very unfortunate, really, because. Subfertile, and it was proved that I was the man who was the problem.
Yeah.
And obviously, they put it down, they went through the history.
Mm-hmm.
And some ten years later, we got a son.
Really?
through various injections, tablets,
mm-hmm.
pills.
Yeah.
And it happened.
Well,
they weren't sure, but they said, you know, you're healthy enough, you're strong enough, you're physically fit. We can't see why it's not happening. But when they did all the tests, they proved I was incapable of producing.
Mm.
Yes.
What do you think you actually learned from your time in the army? I mean, you can divide it into two bits, really, can't you? The normal bit and then the camp bit.
We meet quite regular, us, the Korean vets. In fact, I'm going to Gloucester tonight. And invariably, it comes to the same old subject, the war, different things. One, I wouldn't, if I had the opportunity of going back and doing it all again, I would. I learnt to grow up very, very quickly. My actual life in the army without the Korean War was very ongoing. I loved it. The comradeship, the get together, the Korean War, and the comrades that I've got now, you couldn't buy that comradeship. You couldn't buy it. No. In fact, we keep saying, we've lost a couple, obviously, they've gone, but there's nine of us at the moment. Oh, two knock vets. Two are not vets, aren't they? So we're seven vets. And we still say now that the comradeship and the camaraderie in the camp, especially where we got to know each other, and even now, we do anything for anyone. Yeah, absolutely.
How do you think this country treats veterans?
If you talk about the Forgotten War, when we were national servicemen, being paid as national servicemen, but we weren't upgraded when we went to a war zone. It's been fought over lately, is trying to get whatever was compliment what we were entitled to by fighting in a war zone? No. And until recently, nothing's happened at pension-wise, army pension. I developed an ultra ironic. 2 years ago, I had a letter from somebody, and I had to go away up to London for Hammersmith Hospital. Some 50 years on, will you go and have tropical diseases investigated 50 years later? Which I did, passed it by flying colours. The man in charge came into my room in the hospital and said, "Mr. Witches, where are you?" I said, "No," he said, "you're not Mr. Witches." He said, "I'm looking for an old man." I said, "Well, I'm an old man." And that venture. So I said, "Why, some 50 years later, are we going for tropical diseases?" He said, "Well, as you know, Far East, you get these diseases," he said, "and they can lie dormant in your body." He said, "The area that you were, you could have picked up these, and if they raise their heads, they'll kill you." He said, "But fortunately, you haven't got any." So I said, "Oh, thank you very much." I said, "But why was I brought to Hammersmith Hospital?" He said, "Because technically, you should have died in 1953. I said, "Thank you very much." He said, "What you ate and what you drank, you shouldn't have survived that." But there we did. Going back to a pension, we went to various places for pensions. They paid us a lump sum because we were 1 point under pensionable. Forgotten Army, whenever you hear about the Korean War, it's the Forgotten Army. Although they accepted it, we went in a fight because it was never recognised. Even George, who was king at the time, George, King Six. Yeah, but she came in 51, yeah. Even King George recognised the war, but the government wouldn't. And that's it. So you get nothing.